Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. And I am joined by TV personality of Up All Night from the USA Network, Miss Rhonda Shear. Now, Up All Night is coming back in its revival. It was originally from 1989 to 1998 that Rhonda put us all to sleep, pretty much. And it's now coming back, like I say, on the USA Network. And I'm pleased to welcome Miss Rhonda Shear. Let's listen
Hi,
to what Rhonda
Michael.
has to say today.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's like kind of pinch myself moment that this would happen at this time in my life to reboot All Night. I was on from 91 to 98. Gilbert was on from 89 to 98.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had a gal before me for about a year and a half, and then they decided they just wanted a different direction. I was lucky enough to be cast over hundreds of gals, kind of going. I was into comedy at that point, and I kept being told that I was too sexy to be funny or too whatever to be funny. Back then, you had to look funny to be funny or whatever. So they thought, and so I went right into this audition, like over the top, low cut dress, blow drying my hair, and I was like, "Well, I have nothing to lose. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't." So anyway, I got it, and it was like 8 years of an unbelievable time. And for those people who don't know, I wrapped around movies on USA Network. It was from USA Network's film library, and basically, Up All Night was there to hold you to through the movies so that you would watch the advertising. And we had great advertisers, and those advertisers, they spent a lot of money, and hence USA Network did very well and did a lot of other projects off that little movie show.
I would flip back and forth between yours and Dinner and a Movie on TBS. That was like your guys' competition, I think.
No, I think there was like plenty of room as there is now for all of us. I mean, I think that was like, I mean, it
Yeah.
was the same kind of films. I don't think any of us were competitive. I think people who like horror films are definitely the kind of, I like the B movies, and I still do the comedy, which we're slanting more in that direction now.
Yeah.
That's just my personal preference. I feel like there was a lack in that in this generation, and people, that's why people are really gravitating to all this now. I feel like they feel like they missed out on that craziness of the 80s and 90s. So I think that's kind of fun, but yeah, but I think, yeah, I don't know if any of us were competitive, and even like today, Spengoolie, Joe Bob is still out
Svengoolie, yeah.
there. And it's and then there's all these local people that do it all over the country. And I still think there's plenty of enough room for all of us. So it's very exciting to be back. And with me, it's more of what I like to call it that we're doing now and what we did then, but even more so now I'm leaning into is I like to call it a sketch com instead of a sitcom, but because we have about 40 minutes of time that we fill, and it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, even though it's silly, outrageous characters and everything. But if you put it all together, which Kings of Horror have been doing, and they've been playing it on some of their other channels because they have four other channels other than Kings of Horror, and so they basically just put the hosted bits together, and they've been getting lots of viewers, so that's kind of cool. So they have like a
So
channel
what's
called
it?
Kings of Docs, which is documentary. They have a channel called The Movie Club. They have a channel called like Antenna. And The Movie Club is, I think it's nostalgic films. They have a comedy channel too, but I think it's mainly urban comedy. But for some reason, we did really well on the Kings of Docs. So a lot of viewers.
So what's it like to come back 27 years later? Is there was there a sense of, oh, hey there.
There's
So
like three
who's that?
origins. It was really fun. Okay, so something I've thought about doing, and because I'm in the intimate apparel business and I've been doing that for 23 years with my husband, and on starting on Home Shopping Network, we're all over, but starting in the fact that we're on air, we have to create a lot of content, and I've always had to create a lot of content, whether it be with models or B footage behind the scenes. So I've always had cameras around me and always creating whatever for our product. So I have producers on staff, and I have camera guys on staff. So one of my camera guys, producers, is a huge horror fan, and all he's a decade or younger than me, and but loves all that stuff. So he started downloading a lot of All Night content for YouTube just to preserve it. So he's preserved a lot of my content through the years, but he's always said, we really need to reboot it. And we were always like, yeah, we need to reboot it. And a couple of times we played with it. I mean, we actually did a show or two. I mean, it was never network worthy, but they were funny and they were good and it fed our soul. Then we did one not too long ago before Kings of Horror reached out to us, and that one looked really good. I mean, that one, because we own a studio now, Sheer Media Studios, my husband and I built, and it's for all things media, podcasts, commercials, film, TV, influencers. But it's a 10, I mean, it's a 20,000 square foot building and a lot of it's studio. So we're able to, we actually built the iconic, or the look of the iconic bedroom set, which looks just like it from the 90s. So, you know, the fact that we have this in our own backyard, we can do what we want, obviously. So Kings of Horror, just to jump back, how I got to them, or they got to me, or how we got to each other was, it's an existing channel. They have over 1.5 million subscribers. They've been just kind of bumping along for about 5 years, along with their other channels. And I was told by their CEO that they had been looking for me. I mean, not me specifically, but someone like me who represented that genre that could kind of be the spokesperson for the channel, and kind of be the anchor. I mean, even though they have hosted shows, they hadn't done it very professionally or in a studio. So a lot of Zoom kind of hosting and everything. So he goes, you're the person, you are it. So how we found them and they found us is that I was at a convention in Tennessee in Knoxville signing autographs, and I hadn't done that in a long time. And I've been doing enough TV and film lately, people of your age, maybe older, that are now producing and casting, who grew up with me, started reaching out to me for different films. So I've done like three or four different projects in the last couple of years, and just for fun, you know, so doesn't have to pay the bills anymore. So anyway, I'm at this convention and had a nice little line. Joe Bob Briggs was next to me with a line around the corner with Darcy, but it was still awesome. And this gentleman came up to me and said that he is a programmer for Kings of Horror, and would we ever consider rebooting? And you know, and he said, we've got the films, because they are a film, his boss is a film distributor out of Prague, and they distribute films all over Europe and Japan, and first run and new films and schlocky films and all kinds of film, documentaries, everything. So that's what they do. So they have these films, they license these films. And what's cooler than even USA Network for me is that if I say, can you get a trauma film, or can you get a certain film, they'll actually go after it and see if they can license it. So it's more freedom than I had on USA, which was like their library, which was cool. I was happy with that, but which was a great library. But here we can actually go after certain films. And we've now starting to play, like we're going to have a Revenge of the Party Nerds in January, and then Revenge of the Party Nerds 2, which I was actually
Oh, nice.
in. So yeah, so I think we want to play with comedy too, along with horror. Because horror, yes, we showed horror films, but it was never my thing as much as Joe Bob Briggs and some of these other hosts, like Elvira. So I like it, but not as much as I like the comedy slant, because I always did stand up, and I always, you know, comedy was always my thing. So it's fun for me to be able to bring young actors and young comics and be film stars and all this, and get them all in front of the camera again and create these fun, crazy characters with a lot of humor, and being able to write, direct, produce it and put it on. Like, you can't do that on a channel, on a network. You know, you'd have to go through many meetings. But when you're in charge at YouTube, even though there are still stipulations, you can literally put it up and get the feedback and see what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And then you have someone like Kings of Horror who has other channels, then you can really play and see where you fit the best. It's a wonderful world of media right now. It's fun. It's exciting.
It is, absolutely. Now I have to ask you about one of my favorite people, Joan Rivers. Joan unfortunately passed away. Well, I know that we know this, but she had a untimely death going in for an operation that we were all not expecting. And I know that you had visited her for what was, so you had a nose job, didn't you? Yeah.
That's actually how I met her. That's now how I that. So when I was really young and I was in LA in the very beginning, I would hear things like, you know, you're never going to get a lead, because now I would, because ethnic is in, but back then you had to have this cookie cutter look, which I never fit into and still don't. But she's like, your nose. Well, I went to go see a cosmetic surgeon, and Joan Rivers was sitting there. I used to hear it from casting directors. They'd say, your nose is a little high. They didn't do that much, but I had a little bit of a higher bridge, which made me look Italian or, or whatever. But it was good. I could play. I actually, no one would like this today, but I got a Latina part in a search commercial back then, and all the Latinas were really mad at me. But it wasn't like it is now, where they really go for who you are. But anyway, different back then. But anyway, so, and I had dark hair. So everyone kept saying, you have to fit in, you have to be the girl next door, whatever that is. And back then it was blonde hair and big boobs. So I went to go see this cosmetic surgeon in Beverly Hills, Dr. Frank Kamer. He was the nose job doctor that did everybody back then in the 80s. And Joan Rivers was sitting there. Well, I mean, she was my idol. This is before I'd ever gotten into hosting. And I was like, I had done Happy Days and Three's Company and a few sitcoms, guest starring roles. But anyway, she goes, you're so beautiful. I'm like, thank you, Joan. She's sitting there with her dog in her lap in the doctor's office. And she goes, let me see your face. Turn to the side. And so I turn to the side. She goes, yeah, you could just take a little off. It'll help your career. She was hysterical, but she was so, and I mean, it was just a great story. And then years later, I ended up getting cast on her talk show several times. And then we became friendly. I mean, not friendly like a caller, but friendly that she knew me, and she would use me over and over, like for gossip bits. And I mean, my God, she was my idol. I mean, like she's who I heard in my voice when I did stand up. To me, I sounded like her, and I did not sound anything like her, but brilliant, amazing woman. Definitely loved putting other women on pedestals, which I do too. And was very generous and not jealous of other women. She was just something. Yeah, very special. Broke my heart when we lost her early. Just broke my heart.
And we also got to have Melissa on here, who's one of the nicest people you'll ever
I
meet.
know.
She has carried on her mother's legacy quite well.
She has. And I know her like to say hi. I've never like hung with her, but I just feel like I could be really good friends with Melissa, I guess because her mom just raised a really classy young lady, and she just did everything right. She really did, and kept her mother's legacy alive. And I just felt bad that she lost her so young. I mean, I know she wasn't young, but she was young. Joan had a lot more years. It was a crazy thing that went wrong, anesthesia, which can go wrong with any surgery, but it was very tragic. But yeah,
And
I
another,
go ahead.
oh, and no, so I was just going to say, and another person that helped you get to where you're at or discovered you was Bob Hope.
That is so funny because I was on Fox Local News today in Tampa Bay, and I brought up the Bob Hope story and how I got that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm saying this and probably very few of the people out there will even know who Bob Hope is. There's certainly the younger people, but yes, I got to work with Bob Hope and George Burns when I first got to LA. And one of the very first things I did was after the first two Happy Days, I got cast in a Bob Hope special, and that was like literally an open call, but I had this old beauty queen mentality from my Louisiana beauty queen days. I'm like, I'll go stand in line with 1,000 other women to see what happens. And I got down to the top 50, and then Bob Hope came in the next day to meet the top 50 girls, and they made a big PR splash over it because it was like right after that Bo Derek 11 movie, a couple of years after. So he was looking for six perfect 11s. That was the special, that's what it was about, called The Star Maker. And it was just very funny. And so anyway, 50 women, and then we all got in front of Bob Hope, and he interviewed us with his daughter. And he gets to me, and I mean, I'm still very, very young, very green. Although I had done a lot of showbiz in New Orleans and television and commercials, but still had that beauty queen kind of thing going on. But I get in front of him, and he says, well, tell me about yourself. And I go, well, I was from Louisiana, and I majored in communications from Loyola, and I'm a dancer. You're a dancer? And I went, yeah, let me show you. And so I always had this thing, you show them your talent, and then you catch their attention, and you have them looking, that's what it's about, catch their attention. But anyway, I had these slide pumps on back then. Clear slides, which are in style again now, many years later. And I did this kick, and not on purpose, not on purpose. The shoe flipped into the air And it was like in slow motion in my mind and fell about 6 inches from Bob Hope's head. And I was like I could have sent the man. I mean, though sharp, I could have sent him to the emergency. I could have killed Bob Hope. Jesus. Anyway, he laughed. I mean, everybody laughed. It was crazy. He was on this long table and it landed on the table. Couldn't have tried to have done that. I mean, it was just crazy. And I got it. I was one of the six women, and it really did help launch just meeting a lot of people. And, he used me for a couple of things after locally with a couple of the other gals. So he was delightful, and the show was delightful. And it was just, just a wonderful thing to talk about. Then I got to meet George Burns, and I remember saying, George, I want to do stand-up comedy. And he's like, keep it clean, kids. Put the dirty in the minds of the audience. And I was like, wow. And we did, what's the name of that show? Oh, I can't think of the name of the show. It was a talk show, though. It was a low, no, it was a national talk show. Anyway, he had just come out with this book, How to Live to Be 100 or More. And he had these exercises in it, which were pretty lame exercises, but he was almost 100, And so I was the girl that came out and, did the exercises in front of he and the host, which I'm blanking on his name right now. And it's famous. But anyway, long story short, it was just wild to actually get to work with him. And of course, he was making funny jokes, and they were a little sexual, not totally, but a little bit, I mean, they're real exercises, but you have him looking at you and you're like on the floor doing these like pumping kind of things. But anyway, he was great. He was just great. I mean, what an honor to work with that, both of their autographs. And, for me being a young comic and wanting comedy so bad, like it was great to work with them.
Now I see a gentleman in the background there in your kitchen. Is that your husband there?
That is my husband and first boyfriend, first kiss, Van Fagen, that we reunited 25 years ago and got together. And he's been the one that has been this wonderful person that has made all this happen with the studio and my intimate apparel line. And he's now feeding our four chihuahuas, which is more important than anything. And now, I mean, it was really, if you saw this, they have these little cocoon beds and they're all in them. And he has to feed them individually. And it's like a whole show that goes, it's like a whole thing. And he's got to talk to one. And then the other one has to see the other one. And they have to look at each other while they're eating. Yeah, it's very theatrical. He's a good husband to do that. And then he talks in baby talk to them like this. I'm like, how come you never talk to me like that? He's like, oh, you're so pretty. But he is a good
Also,
husband. And he has done an amazing job, and he designed and helped build the set that we are currently on, and I'm very hands-on. And we reunited and started the intimate apparel business together, Rhonda Shear Intimates. And then to come full circle with him, I mean, I met him when I was 12, he was 13. Then obviously we separated. I never married. He married. I has two kids. And then to come full circle, meet, marry, and then start a business together, and then even go more full circle, and then go back to my original, my showbiz career is just, it's like pinch me moment. Meantime, we both say every now and then, like, why aren't we retired like the rest of our friends? But it's not in it for us. I think we both, he may say differently every now and then, but I think we both have that sense of wanting to keep accomplishing. And it does keep you young and it keeps your brain, not physically, I mean, it is what it is, but it keeps your brain going. And honey, wave to Michael.
hey, Michael.
Hi, Van. Hi.
How's it going? Hey, guys.
Very nice to meet you, sir. Very nice to meet you. Your wife says nice things about you.
Well, sometimes.
At
Only
times.
two. Only two.
No, that's not. He knows. He knows.
She's the best. I gotta tell you, I'm a lucky man.
We have fun. We really do have fun together. We do.
Yes, it sounds like it. It definitely sounds like it. Yes.
Very
So,
appreciative.
I also wanted to say, I know that you are a breast cancer survivor, just like my mom is. My mom is a breast cancer survivor.
Well, I'm not, Michael. I'm not. I mean, I haven't, knock wood. I've not had cancer, but I work with so many women in my intimate apparel business that have had cancer that I've learned a lot about it. Plus, I've done a lot of charity events with the American, well, several, excuse me, Berman, and also just American Cancer Society. So, and also Go Red for Women, which is the Heart Society. So I know a lot about it. Plus, when I first started designing bras, I never designed with the thought in mind that I would be helping women that went through breast cancer and have had, mastectomies or lumpectomies. I mean, I didn't know that much about it, other than taking my own mammogram every year and also having the fear that every woman lives with. I do want to get back to your mom, but anyway, I started creating these bras that I felt like were really comfortable, but they had removable pads. And all of a sudden, I had so many women reaching out saying, "Oh my God, this bra is so good. I had a double mastectomy, or I had one breast removed, or I had a lumpectomy, and they're so good. And the other bras are so expensive on the market. And this bra, so now we actually sell to stores that are specifically for women who've had breast cancer survivors and are just going through various surgeries, breast surgery. And it's just also women who've had augmentation. And it really makes me feel amazing because, but I'm so, obviously, I'm very obviously very sympathetic and sensitive to it because of what I do. I deal with women's breasts every day of my life, and it's scary. And I just keep hearing more and more stories how many young women they're finding breast cancer with. And I really think, I mean, I think it's good and bad. I think the good is they're testing earlier. I think the other thing is the machinery is getting better, because I think a lot of times the machines didn't catch things, but now they have these, three-dimensional and now AI assisted. So I hope your mom's doing well though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She just had a kidney removed, so unfortunately, but other than that, but as far as the breast cancer, yeah, everything's great, just fine.
That
And but
works. It makes me so happy because there's just so many different kinds, and it
oh
all depends on
yeah.
when you catch it, who you go to. And that's what I keep hearing about just in cancer in general. It's like someone will tell you, "No, this is it." And then some people are just happy and complacent with that diagnosis instead of like going to find like the best hospital. And that doesn't, maybe it won't work, but it's certainly worth it, your life, to go as far as you can.
Now, I have to ask you also about one other person, and I know you've gotten to work with them, Mel Brooks on
Yes,
Spaceballs.
I did.
Mel is a genius.
I've been very lucky in my life. I have. So I had the chance to audition for Spaceballs as the waitress in the diner scene. And I didn't get that role because at the time I was brunette with a different nose. And no, I think it was after the nose, I think. I can't remember actually. I think it was right after. But anyway, I did a lot of shows pre-nose. But it's not that much of a difference. But anyway, I read for that and he goes, "Well, if you were blonde, because you're really funny." And I'm like, "Well, I can wear a wig, He goes, No, just come to the set." And I had this red dress that he loved, this red rubber dress. He goes, "I want you to wear the red rubber dress." And I don't know how. I guess I brought it to the audition. I don't remember. And he goes, "I'm going to throw some lines at you." And he threw some lines, and one of them stuck. One line. I ordered a Luna fish sandwich, and I've had so many people know me from that over like all the stuff I've done. Like, especially younger kids who didn't know Up All Night or Up All Night, but knew Spaceballs, like every word in it. So I'll come at the convention. So many people came up to me with posters and different items from Spaceballs. So very cool. But he was so sweet. And every role, I can tell you this from Spaceballs, every role, minor roles, he cast himself. He met every single person. And not every film is like that. If you have like one line, they'll use it, they'll leave it to a casting director, or they'll leave it to a producer. Not Mel Brooks. He wanted to meet everybody. I mean, you got to audition for Mel Brooks. That's insane. In all the years I was out in LA, which was 26 years, I had one audition with Henry Winkler and Anson Williams in that's before I even moved to LA. That was kind of a weird thing too, as a Christmas special. And the other was Mel Brooks, where there was a star in the room. Otherwise, as your casting director or producer, but which is fine. Now you just actually put it on tape and send it, and you often get cast without ever meeting anybody. I just did an audition behind me last night at my bar, and sent it in for a film in L.A. I haven't heard anything yet, but actually they extended it to Monday. I'm like, well, I wish I would have longer time to work on that part because I didn't know the lines and I just read them, but. Anyway, it's fun to be able to just like do that, be able to, it's a whole new world out there.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think Joan was in Spaceballs herself too, if I'm not
She
mistaken.
was, she
Yeah.
was, she was. And I tried to get into the second one because everybody kept saying, "Are you going to be in the second one?" I'm like, I don't think so, but anyway, I do have an agent now in Atlanta, and they reached out to the casting people. I reached out to people. I shouldn't have my agents like, why did you? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to wait around for an agent. I never have. But anyway, so I reached out and they were filming, I don't remember, out of the country. And they're like, no, we don't have the budget. I'm like, yeah, you have the budget. You just pay smalls. But I think they just didn't want to deal with, you know, that doesn't even mean that they were reprising those roles or the diner scene even. But anyway, it was very, I tried. I thought, wow, it'd be really cool just to do one line.
Yeah.
I think I could have talked my husband into. I thought I keep thinking it was Australia, but I don't think it was. I don't know if it's Australia, but I'm like, we fly to Australia for one line, and I mean, it'd be a vacation.
Absolutely. Well, Rhonda, I want to just give you one more plug. You're going back to Up All Night. It'll be on the USA Network. And will it be at 9 o'clock? Is it
Well,
9 o'clock?
actually, it's called kingsofhorror.com.
Or
So.
kingsofhorror.com. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you can go, this is how you find it. It's kingsofhorror.com. You can get to it from your computer, or this is what we like to do. We go to YouTube and search Kings of Horror, then I throw it up on television. If you watch it live, like our next show will be December the 20th, is our Christmas show, and then we actually have a show on New Year's Eve. So if you watch it when it premieres, you can actually watch along with you know, everyone and make comments. So we're going to start doing some giveaways. Well, not until New Year's Eve, but we're going to start doing like it's really fun that you can actually talk to the whole community that's watching. But then, of course, you can keep watching it. It's going to air again. So go to kingsofhorror.com. And if you want any merchandise or you want to shop for any Rhonda Shear intimates, just go to Rhonda Shear Up All Night or Rhonda Shear Up, wait, Rhonda Shear Up All Night.com. And you can find everything, you know, even when I'm going to be at conventions and that and everything else.
I'll make sure to post the websites on everything you said when I go to post this. But thank you, Rhonda, for your time. Very nice to meet you.
Michael, thank you. I so appreciate it. I do. And I hope to talk to you soon.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.